You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Dave's Corner Garage. Heard every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Dave's Corner Garage. Heard every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
A mechanic tries to fix your car. No matter if you're near or far, he'll change your oil or fix your flat, and he'll do it just like that.
From Barrie to Port Perry, Toronto to Buffalo, take a joyride with Zoomer Radio AM 740 and the boys in Dave's Corner Garage. Got a car question for Dave Redinger or Alan Gelman? Call now, 416-360-0740. Or toll-free in Ontario at 1-866-740-4740.
Yeah! We're kind of lost this morning.
Why? We know where we're going.
Well, I was trying to get a hold of Dave Woodford, and I don't know, he gave up my number.
Well, you always said, Dave, if you want to find Dave, just check the 4 Series highways, do something real stupid, and there's going to be a light behind you. What's going on?
With the lights on. Well, I tell you, it's not a good weekend to be a turkey, I tell you that. or a pumpkin. Or a pumpkin. We're going out the country this weekend and buy pumpkins because it's only, what, 2 weeks away, Halloween?
2 weeks.
The end of the month. What's the day today? A couple weeks.
It's Halloween in here today.
It's exactly right. And good morning, everybody. It's Dave Redinger from Dave's Corner Garage. Alan Gelman's with me this morning. And Mark Silverman, East Court Ford, has joined us this morning. Mark, how are you?
Morning. How are you this
morning?
You're
looking fresh.
I am always fresh.
Yeah. You know, getting up in the morning on Saturday is a little tough.
Yeah, well, you know what?
But we get up every day. I mean, we get to work at 7 o'clock, Dave. You know, customers bringing their cars in. They're getting towed. They got issues.
Anyway. We got him on the phone. David, Mr. Hello. Woodford, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Good, good. So you're out on the highway doing your thing?
Well, we're trying to. It hasn't been as busy as I thought it would have been for the Thanksgiving long weekend. Like, it was a steady flow of traffic last night. A lot of people headed out Thursday night, but we didn't see the bumper-to-bumper type traffic that we normally see in the long weekend.
Dave, isn't this traditionally the week that everybody closes up the cottage?
It is, and so I'm thinking a lot of people had headed up, you know, with school out on Thursday or on Friday, a lot of people might have headed up on the Thursday evening, and then so it takes away a lot of the traffic traveling on Friday. Yeah.
So you're going to have to start your spot checks a day early now.
Please, I won't get enough time off as it is.
Oh, yeah. I always see them on the off-ramps, like when you're coming off the off-ramp.
Yeah,
and then I asked the guy, and he says they're checking seatbelts.
Yeah, that's what they're doing. It's a seatbelt campaign. It's a false seatbelt campaign. It goes every year. It's one of the main causes of fatal motor vehicle collisions. In fact, it's right up there. Distracted driving is the number one cause this year, but seatbelts are right up there, close a second to the distracted driving. And it blows me away that people still don't get it. You know, you're trying to protect your family, yourself, and they don't put their seatbelt on. And we see time and time again where, you know, when we see a fatal motor vehicle come in and it says the person ejected, and that's why they were killed as a result of that.
Dave, question, is it people in the back seat mostly, or both front and back who are not wearing belts?
We've seen both. A lot of times it's the passengers from the back seat, and they get thrown forward. Oh. And, you know, when we're investigating a motor vehicle collision, if you're in the back seat and get thrown, you might be able to get thrown from the vehicle, but you're thrown against that person in the front seat, and in return, then they could end up a statistic as well because that person in the back seat didn't have their seat belt on.
So you're actually like a projectile. It's like a bowling ball flying from the
That's
back seat.
That's correct. And, wow. And on every motor vehicle collision, as soon as that collision, you go forward. And if you don't have that on, you're going right into the front seat, and you're almost like squishing or that person inside at the front seat.
But, so, Dave, doesn't the bell rings if you don't have your front seat belt on? Right?
That's right.
So maybe the solution would be the bell should be ringing if the back seat belt isn't on.
That's correct. But, you know, we can have all kinds of technology. It doesn't take much to disconnect those, and a lot of people do that. The problem is I think that as drivers, we have to be responsible. Safety should be your number one concern for yourself and for everybody. You go to work.
Yep.
You don't go up in a high building if you're doing the windows or whatever without a safety belt on. Why? Because you don't want to fall. Well, you know, the same thing should apply when you're driving a motor vehicle. You don't want to get ejected, or you don't want to be killed if you happen to be in a motor vehicle collision.
Well, everybody assumes it's the other guy. You know, not going to happen to me. I'm a good driver.
That's correct. And that's time to time. And we did this story on one of the girls that was stopped by one of our officers out in the West Region, where she didn't get a ticket for seatbelt, but she got one for distracted driving, being on her cell phone. But she was warned about her seatbelt not being on. And 2 days later, she gets involved in a collision where someone runs into the rear of her. And if she didn't have her seatbelt on, she probably would have been ejected in possibility of a fatal motor vehicle collision. So she was quite appreciative that the officer did stop her for not having the seatbelt on and give her at least a warning for that. She did get a ticket, but it made her put her seatbelt on.
You know, in the States, they're really pushing right now not to text while driving. They still allow you to talk on your cell phone, but they're really after you for don't text while driving.
That's correct. Yeah. It's a texting down there. And, I think it's both. But, you know, we just had the ruling that was this week or last week that came out regarding some of the justices of the peace were saying, well, we had to make sure that they could transmit or be able to transmit something. Well, we have no authority to seize that cell phone, so how would you be able to tell? So it was a poor ruling, and that was challenged Crown Attorney's Office after that ruling, and the decision came down that it only has to be in your hand, any electronic device in your hand, whether it's working or not.
Oh, yeah, that's right. The guy said his phone wasn't working, so he couldn't have been on the phone, but he had it up to his ear.
But we have no way of checking that. When we pop alongside of somebody, we see the device in their hand, whether they're talking on it or not, we don't know. And then there's no authority for us to seize that and then send it in to see if it was being used at the time. We would have to go through the warrant process. Well, that would take forever. So it was overruled in the higher courts to our favor. And, people have to realize they're creating a hazard out there on the roads. People are being killed, and you've got to get rid of those devices.
Dave, as well, I heard that pedestrian injuries or deaths are up tremendously as well. And I'm thinking that the cell phone is also part of that reason.
Yeah, you're exactly right, Al. It's like a jaywalking. You're not paying attention to traffic, and unfortunately, there's enough already for drivers to do in trying to stay keep weary of what's going on around them, the surroundings around. And pedestrians just have to be as responsible, I think, and put the devices down when they're walking. I see them when they're crossing the streets.
Absolutely. Don't even lift their head. I had it this week where I saw this guy walking down the street towards me on his phone, and I went, he has no clue that I'm even here. It blew me away.
Right.
Yeah.
And the earphones.
Have to watch out for him as well.
Right.
Never mind everything else around you.
Well, I was busy on my phone, so that's why.
I'm sure you were.
But you know what, Dave? They got the earphones on so loud, they're listening to the Walkman, and they're walking along, and it's really a hazard. Same thing with the bikes. I hate bikes. I hate them. I hate them.
Coming to a city near you.
Yeah.
Bikes got lanes.
I was always wondering, if the car goes through as a stop sign, who would get pulled over, the car or the bike? And I'm telling you, the car is the guy that's going to get pulled over because he's got insurance information and everything else.
Yeah,
and the bikes go free. And they got to do something about that. They got to really nail the bikes.
Yeah, they have to realize that they're responsible just like a car. When they're on that highway or roadway, that the laws pertain to them as well. They have to stop, and signal. I bet you a lot of people riding the bikes don't even know what the hand signals are for making a left, right-hand turn.
You're
and stop.
You're absolutely right. Rosie DiMano wrote an article, I think it was on Wednesday, about how she got out of the taxi was stopped to pick her up. The bike was cursing her because she was in the bike lane. She got so pissed she actually pushed the guy off his bicycle. Bottom line, I think that's a real issue in Toronto, too. They should start regulating the bikes.
All right, Dave, thank you for...
you're right.
Dave, thanks for taking the time. I don't know if you can hear the music. This isn't your first time you're doing this, eh?
Yeah, I hear it.
David, thank you so much. We're going to invite you down soon.
Have a safe weekend and keep up the good work, my friend.
Thanks, guys.
Take care.
Bye. All right, bye-bye.
Remember, Dave, if it's always available to you at a 400 series highway, just put it up to 140 and I'm sure you're going to find it.
416-360-0740 is the number to the studio. If you're out of town, maybe you're up near Dave's place. It's 1-866-740-4740.
And by the way, later in the show, we're going to be picking the winner of the Crown Contest. We're giving away a Crown service and $50 discount coupons to anybody that enters. So today's the first draw, but we're going to continue this throughout the season.
All right, Mr. James, you got to throttle us back and push us toward, what's it called? Commercialville. This is called Bernadette. I could do it in two bars. I got it.
Who was it? Daryl Dahmer could do that. Here we go. Beep. Darn it. Welcome back. It's Dave's Corner Garage, and we have a traffic report from Christopher, who's somewhere
in Fort Erie.
Yeah, stuck on the highway. Christopher, good morning.
Good morning. How are you this morning?
Great. So what do you got, a traffic report?
Yeah, I'm just in Fort Erie waiting to cross the bridge here, just by the duty-free shop. Very, very slow. Haven't even got to the bridge yet.
Well, how many cars you figure, how much time you think to get across?
I'll be an hour crossing at least.
Get out of here. Really? Can you turn around and leave?
What, are they having a big sale at Tops or something today? What's going on?
Oh, it's Thanksgiving.
Everybody's excited to go to Buffalo.
Yeah.
Really?
Listen, if you're going to Buffalo, go visit Harbor Tools.
What's there?
Harbor Tools is across from the Walden Galleria.
Yeah.
And the stuff is so cheap, you can't walk out of there as a mechanic without spending a couple hundred bucks. It's unbelievable.
Even if you're not a mechanic, you can spend a couple hundred bucks.
We went over, and the wife wanted to do some shopping, so I said, okay, so I wandered to Harbor Tools. I bought like $300 worth of stuff, crossed the border, and the guy says, what'd you buy? I said, I bought tools at Harbor Tools. How long were you away? 4 hours. He says, okay, go.
Wait. You know what? And I did that by mistake, and they went, well, pull over, sir. I said, what for? And they said, we have to pay duty. What are you talking about?
Because I got hair.
Wow. All right, we got Paul in Welland, which isn't far from the border. I hope the traffic's not backed up that far, but he's got a Subaru with a problem. What can we do for you, Paul?
Hi.
Hi.
It's Mrs. Wife.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so we have a 2004 Subaru Impreza,
mm-hmm.
And we got to plug it in because I don't know whether it's the alternator or the battery. It starts and we go, and then plunk, doesn't start again. Would that be the battery?
Well, does it ever quit while you're driving, or it's only dead after you try to start it afterwards?
No, just when it, you know, when we park it or something.
When it sits overnight.
Well, yeah.
It certainly sounds like the battery, yeah. Because, you see, if the alternator wasn't working at all, the car would actually die on you as you were driving it.
Okay.
So
I figure that's the battery then.
Mark, there's a test for that, right?
I didn't study for that. Yeah, but
4 or 5 years for the battery.
So now you can tell your husband you were right, eh?
Yeah, you're right. The husband's wrong.
The bet is on.
All right, lots of luck.
Before you leave.
Thanks, guys. I really enjoy your program. Great.
Thank you.
Thank you. Hang on. Dave's got something else to say to you.
I was going
to
tell you, let them do what's called a battery load test.
An AVR test.
When she goes to start it, it doesn't turn. So there you go. It failed the test.
It could be something taking the battery
out. You're freaking Einstein.
It could be a bad driver.
It could be a draw on the battery somewhere that's taking the battery out.
So can you draw on a battery? What do you need, a crayon? How do you draw on a battery?
Who woke him up this morning?
It's the coffee.
Oh, you guys.
Okay.
All right. Take care, dear.
Thanks a lot.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. Actually, what we were trying to say was an AVR test will check if the battery is getting drawn down by a short.
Of course.
Right.
And if the alternator is putting out enough juice to put it back together, and it checks quite a few things.
Exactly. Things like, you know, hey, Subaru, fuel pump doesn't shut off because it's real corroded.
Well, no, I mean, listen, we're in the business, guys. How many times did you get a phone call? Listen, the other day my battery light came on. Well, so I went into the store and I bought a new battery. I put it on. I don't know. The light's still on. What do you think? Hey, you heard that before.
Oh, yeah.
No, never.
Well, sir, you didn't need a battery. Oh, why is that? The light was said battery. I said, well, I know. It's just to confuse people like you. If you would have read the manual, you know, what it means is that your battery will die if you continue to drive like this. And it did.
By the way, we have a line open. So if you hear somebody hang up, you can call in. The number is, Al?
Is 416-360-0740. Again, 416-360-0740. Or if you're in Welland or Paul's wife, you can call us at 1-866-740-4740. Besides, if your car's dead, go to Welland if you'll make it. Paul's wife's got a great battery charger there. They've been using it for 2 weeks now, just waiting to get through to the show. Hang on. We ain't buying that until I talk to them fellas on the radio.
Well, where did this guy...
I met Mark in the parking lot, actually.
And he's standing up, walking around like this.
My back is sore. My back is sore.
Sit down.
By the way, when we come back after the break, Trevor Hutchison's going to join us, and we're going to pick the winner for the crown contest.
Hey, you know what? As a matter of fact, in the commercial it says, crown helps you maintain. I want to hear what, okay? We're going to be back. This is Dave's Corner Garage in the wacky world of AM 740.
Okay, Al, what's this one?
I'm a soul man. No, is it? No, knock on wood then. Don't you ever
want to make quieter music because Alan's older.
This is Wilson Pickett. Is this Wilson Pickett? Oh, my God. I'm really blowing it today.
Okay.
Hold on. I'm coming. And I'm not going anywhere with that. I'm telling you right now.
Down, boy, down. Okay, welcome back. It's Dave's Corner Garage. You know, over the this October the 1st, we announced that we were going to give away a couple of crown services this month. We put it on our website, davescornergarage.com, and we got an overwhelming response. Now, during the break, we actually picked the winner, and Trevor's on the phone with us. He doesn't even know who the winner is. Trevor, good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. I'm doing great.
Great. Well, where are you? You sound so far away.
Well, I am in the palatial Caledon estate of the Hutchison family.
Okay. Well, of course, because you're the crown prince, right?
That's right. So you have to have a palatial estate.
I think the echo is from the basement.
By the way, I saw Freeman on television the other day on Rogers.
Yep, that's right. This time of year, we're on a fair bit of media trying to get the word out to everyone. And we're right in the height of our busy season now.
This is the season. Actually, it goes, from September to February, I imagine.
Yeah, it really depends on the weather. January is usually a pretty good month. It just depends on how the weather goes.
Yeah. And you know that what the beauty of this is, we got such an overwhelming response. I had to go and buy a roll of tickets, and we actually put them in a hat and picked one. And we're going to announce the winner is Mr. Alan Parker. We lost him.
I think I'm still here.
Okay,
yeah, we got you. So Alan Parker is the winner.
Yes.
Where does he live? Do you have his address?
No, we don't have any addresses. What's going to happen is
you got his email address.
Crown will send everybody their coupons through the email.
Yes.
And then they can go to the local Crown store where they want, and then it'll be honored, correct?
That's right. They can go to any Crown shop and use it for any Crown service or product while they're in there.
Yeah, and there's some great stuff. There's the stuff to take the salt off the snow called Salt Eliminator. There's the spritz.
What's that?
You get the penetrants, the lubricants. This time of year, a lot of people are putting away their lawn mowers and things like that.
Yep.
So they'll spray them down, lubricating, getting ready for the winter with snow blowers, things like that as well.
Oh, actually, it's funny. I was up at the lake, remember, last year, and my buddy says, and he's got a can of WD-40, and he says, he's spraying it on everything. I said, what are you doing? He's, I'm winterizing. Just like that. Oh, yeah, you just spray it everywhere, eh? And it makes sure it doesn't rust. But actually, you have a product that's better for that, right?
Well, yeah, we kind of separate. There's reasons that, as mechanics, too, things that you want to use a penetrant on and something that's a little bit thinner. Like, for instance, we spray down everybody's door locks.
Right.
When we actually treat the vehicle.
Yes.
But we don't use our rust inhibitor in the door locks because the product viscosity is a little too thick that when it gets cold, it'll gel up.
Right.
So we use a product we call the solution in there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's great because it keeps the locks from freezing and from sticking. And that's really what you want. And so a lot of people have areas around the home they can use it. So that's just a side benefit to coming in and getting your car done is picking up an aerosol can of that.
Mm-hmm. And also we spray all the rubbers with silicone.
That's right.
So they don't stick. So when you open the door in the winter and everything's frozen, the thing just opens up nice and easy.
Yeah, and that's part of the reason, too, even if anybody's seen our application, why we say that it takes a good hour to do is, the preparation time to go through and grease all the holes, wipe everything down, spray everything with silicone, is a good 30% of the job.
Yeah, exactly. So what we've done is we're going to send this list back to you. You're going to send out everybody the coupons as they've won them, and we'll start fresh. We're going to do another 2 weeks, and then we'll do it all over again.
That sounds fantastic. Yeah, we've had great response from it, so I'm looking forward to seeing how it goes through the rest of the month.
Yeah, well, what? We've got a caller on the line who's got a question about rust inhibition.
Yes.
And, let's talk to Trevor because he's quite inhibited when it comes to talking about that. Roland, you have a question about rust proofing, I think. Is that right?
Yes, I have.
Okay.
I have a 06 Chrysler Pacifica. Mm-hmm. And where the latch is on the back tailgate has a rubber gasket around it.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had it rust-proofed every year since new. And now the gasket is all swelling up and coming out from around the handle there.
Mm.
And it looks like the oil, the rust-proofing oil, is what's penetrating and causing this rubber gasket to swell and come out. Does their guarantee or their warranty cover anything like that affecting gaskets?
Trevor?
Hello. Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's part of the reason that we put the silicone on. And so, but it is covered. Anything to do with the product is absolutely covered, as well as the workmanship of it. And so if there is an issue, what we do is we invite people to come back in our shop and let us take a look at it for them. One of the big challenges is that a lot of the gasketing that's on some of the vehicles is not a true rubber. It's a synthetic. Mm-hmm. And so what it'll do is it'll actually absorb water. It'll absorb oil-based products. And that's part of the reason we put the silicone on, to prevent it from getting absorbed in there through where the clips are.
But if you're a regular customer and you go back to your shop, it will be addressed. That's for sure.
Absolutely. Yeah,
well, that's great.
So, Ronald, go back to your application. Are we talking about Crown, Ronald, or is this another product?
Okay, I'll take it back to them. I got to take it in anyway to get it done
Fair
for
enough.
The winter anyway.
Okay.
So I'll ask them then, see what they say.
All right, Ron. Good
Great.
Luck.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ron.
Yeah, that's one thing I love about Crown, is that you guys actually step up. I've known of cases where a guy hasn't been in for 2-3 years and you still repaired it.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. We're in the service business, so we're you know, rust protection may be what people know us for, but the fact is that when people come in and they've got issues with their cars, you want to try and do everything you can to help them with it, and it's good, because the longer people, you know, protect cars, the better it is for them, and we really believe, as you were asking Alan before I was on, what the maintain part's about. That's exactly what it is trying to help them maintain all the money that they've put into the vehicle, so that they can hopefully use it for something else.
Well, speaking of money, I mean, you know, it's a great selling tool, too. If you're going to sell that car a couple years down the road and you explain to people that you've had the rust protection done every year, I think it's going to make them more want your car even that much more.
Yeah. Yep, absolutely.
All right.
Thanks, Trevor. Take care.
Okay, have a great weekend, gentlemen.
We're going to be all spending right. more of your money while you're having fun.
Beautiful. I love it.
Take care, my friend. So that's it. So that's the winner for this time. His name is Alan Parker. We'll be in touch with him. And the rest of you folks that actually did enter, you'll be getting your coupons. And, you know, we've got pages of this stuff. And we'll start the contest all over again. So let's look at our website. It's davescornergarage.com. Get on there. And I'll put the names down from the winners on that site with pictures. So
exactly. And if you've got a car care question, you're welcome to give us a call in the studio. We've got three mechanics here with all kinds of
technicians.
Technicians, automotive technicians.
And that's
a
question I have for you. We have a problem getting apprentices into the shop.
Oh, it's bad.
It really is bad.
We're down about 40%.
So, is that right?
Yeah, and it's a difficult thing to overcome, because in the next few years, some of the guys are going to retire. The attrition factor takes place, and we end up with unskilled labor.
Would it balance out that the cars are actually better, like they don't break as much as they used to? But when they do, it's so
they do break as much as they used to. It's just different things breaking. And they still need to come back to the dealerships. And the technology is growing to, you know, I remember back in the days when all of us got our license to be a mechanic.
Yeah.
You needed a grade 10 education. You were able to speak a little bit of the language, and you could hold a wrench. Mm-hmm. Now you need sciences, you need maths, and you need a grade 12 education just to apply for an apprenticeship.
But at the same time, you have to have the desire to not to be scared of getting dirty and doing heavy work either.
True enough, but, you know, the dirty factor, Alan's getting, we're getting away from that as well. Now, I mean, there's a lot more, you know, the technology has kept the under-the-hood clean type of thing.
Yes.
And, you know, our oils and our different fluids are all, you know, environmentally safe and friendly. So, you know, the dirt factor isn't the thing anymore. It's the technology. And you need to be a bit of a computer technician.
You know, which I find interesting is because no industry has cleaned itself up more, I think, than the car business. I mean, the cars are 95 or 96% recyclable. Everything we do in the shop is recycled. The batteries, the oil, the
You know, if you
fluids.
Think about it, we took away all the... Alan, you remember we used to grease tie rod ends, and then they came out with the non-greasable type.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, now there's no grease in them anymore, so there's nothing to, you know, I mean, only road dirt. So, I mean, we took away all that stuff over the years, so
Nobody's done more for the environment, I think, than the car.
Yeah, I think so.
And so we come back. We're going back to the phone lines, and we're going to talk about Tommy belts and things like that. And all we'll right. do that in a few minutes, Alan.
416-360-0740. If you've got a car care question or if you're out of town, it's a free call. It's a no charge. 1-866-740-4740. Give us a call. We'll be right back.
Wow! I feel good. Na-na-na-na-na-na-na.
Everybody knows the horn section, eh? This is the king of soul, Mr. James Brown.
Yeah, he had a lot of marital problems, the poor guy. Got married. Good morning.
Well, but he kept getting married. I don't understand. Like, you know, here, do you not see what's going on here? Open up your
There's
eyes.
There's a pattern. Welcome back. It's Dave's Corner Garage. Let's go right to the phones. You want to talk to Gary because he's been holding on the longest?
Gary has got a PT Cruiser. Stands for Personal Transportation. Gary,
really?
What can we do?
Yeah,
it does.
Well, I didn't know that.
What can we do for you, Gary?
How are you doing today, gentlemen?
Great. Yourself?
We're doing all right. Anyway, I have a PT Cruiser, and I just changed the timing belt.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if your listeners know this or not, but I think they should, okay?
Go ahead.
I realized it was a major job. You tear half the car apart to get at this thing.
That's why they charge so much, eh?
But that's why they charge so much. That's right. But I there's one tip I want to give them. Somebody came into my store one day and said, you know, it took me 6 hours to change the alternator.
Mm-hmm.
And the bells went on, and I knew I was changing my timing belt. So I just want your listeners to know, if you're changing that timing belt in a PT Cruiser, you want to change not only the water pump, you want to change the alternator. They're right in there.
Exactly.
Yeah,
you know,
plus also, what, the tensioners?
Yeah.
Whatever's there.
Yeah. Well, I think when you order that kit, the tensioners and everything come with it.
Yep. That's correct, because everything is just the same age. Everything is turned all those many miles, right?
That's right.
And as difficult to get to.
Exactly.
It's so hard. Yeah.
And of course, if one of them fails after the fact, you know, you blow the motor, and then
it's a non-interference motor, and most people don't know that. Once you blow that timing belt or you blow one of those pulleys, you blow in the motor, and she's not repairable.
You've blown the budget.
Yeah,
for
you know
sure.
You know what's just as bad as Volkswagen diesel? there's zero room. It's just as easy to pull the motor and do your job.
Yeah, we had to pull all the motor mounts off and lift the motor up to get it out of there.
Yeah, exactly right. Exactly.
Oh, it's terrible.
All right, Gary, appreciate it.
You guys have a super day. You're having way too much fun down there.
I don't know what Alan's got in his coffee this morning.
Hey, do you still give those wash certificates out?
No, the guy's gone under.
Oh, really?
Too many certificates.
Too many certificates.
Actually, I think he retired. I tell you the truth, I think he retired. I retired, so I lost contact with him.
Yeah, I'm going down that way to do a show, so I thought I'd get a car wash at the same time. So.
I wish I could help.
All right,
anyway,
Gary, take care. Thank you.
You.
Have a great long weekend.
Yeah, you too now. Happy Thanksgiving.
Thanks. All the best to you, too. We're going to go to Paul next in Dundas, who's got a BMW, a fancy car. What can we do for you, Paul?
Good morning. I pulled into a parking lot, and I stopped the car. My wife came out of the store, and the car wouldn't start. The ignition key would turn, but it wouldn't turn off the lights or start the car.
Uh-huh.
So the mechanism between the ignition and the steering wheel lock broke.
Oh, so
that involve getting a new ignition key, or is it just the internal parts that I will have to get?
Just
it depends what's broken. Mark's thinking it's just the internal.
Yeah.
Because they are separate pieces. The ignition switch is an electrical part, which is at the bottom of the actual tumbler, okay? I mean, if your key went in there and turned, and the little piece on the bottom, which feeds into the other part, is there, then we should only need the ignition switch.
But, Mark, this is a 95 car. Is it still available, the parts?
Oh, I would think so. You know, online, you can find anything.
Yeah, because you might remember that, Paul...
Yes,
it's a 1995 vehicle, right? It's already almost 20 years old.
Oh, I realize that, but the ignition switch isn't broken. It's just the mechanism inside the steering column that turns everything on broken.
Well, the idea was it locks the steering column when you're not using the car.
Yeah.
So maybe if you can't find the parts, the solution is to remove that piece.
Yeah.
And so now it's just still serviceable.
All right, Paul, here's my suggestion. What you should do is look in your yellow pages, and you may be able to find a locksmith who specializes in that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And that way you can get it fixed, because otherwise you're looking at getting it towed into the shop. A lot of garages don't really look for that kind of work. Mark, do you usually do them in-house, or do you bring people in?
Depends. We try to do them, but for a locksmith, I'd rather call somebody who knows what they're doing.
Yeah. Remember, BMW stands for
bring my wallet.
Bring money with you.
Well, it's a 95. He's got a couple years out of it, eh?
95. I'm just saying, you know, the average car is 14 years old.
Yeah.
All right, 416-360-0740.
Way older than that.
Way older than that, exactly. And we got a few minutes left. We're happy to take your calls. If you got a problem with your car, if it won't start, if it's making a weird noise, and especially if it's a Ford, because we got the Ford expert here, Mark Silverman from Eastcourt.
Even if you want to know about servicing your car, you don't have to be broke. It doesn't have to be not, you know, up to par.
You got answers for everything.
I do.
You want answers?
Call the answer man.
You're afraid of the truth. All right. Well, you got to be back. We'll be back in just a
minute. No, you can't handle the truth. All right. Green onions.
That means it's our last segment. The last minute of play.
So we're coming up to...
We're going to go to Hamilton. John's been hanging it off a long time, and his car won't move. He needs some help. John, how can we help you?
Hello,
John.
Happy Thanksgiving, by the way.
All
John.
The best to you, too.
Thank you. After I start my car and I put it in gear, it won't go forward or backwards. It's stuck. Like, I don't know if it's the brakes or whatever.
What kind of car is this?
That problem.
How long does it last? Does it eventually start to move?
Oh, no, it won't go. The tires are locked up. I did get it to go one time. I stepped on the gas real hard. Mm-hmm. I put it in reverse, and I heard a big bang.
What kind of a car is this?
It's a 2003 Pontiac Sunfire.
And do you use the parking brake on that car? Do you use the emergency brake when you park the car?
Oh, yes.
That's your problem.
That's your problem.
Is that right?
Yeah, the parking brake's stuck on. That's why it wouldn't go. That one time you did give it some gas, you forced it to disable itself. But that's what it is.
So would it be okay to do it again and take it to a garage?
Here's what you should do. Actually, pull the hubcaps off. All right? And pull the hubcaps off. And whack the wheel with a hammer to shock the shoes, and that should release.
And then
the
call a tow truck to take it to the garage.
Okay.
All right. So what you're going to do is disconnect. You want to release the parking brake first. Okay.
Yes. Okay.
And then try to hit the wheel and don't damage anything.
Yeah. Try and hit the wheel so that you release the brake because your brake is seized on.
All righty?
Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay. You're welcome. All right. We're gonna go to Bob next in Toronto. He's got a Honda Accord and
ignition.
And it's not sparking up. What's going on there?
Well, hi, guys. You got a great program.
Thank you.
I just got the car back from the dealership because it wouldn't start this morning. It's intermittent. I would turn the key, and it could start or it could not. When it starts, there's absolutely no problem. When it doesn't start, the starter doesn't respond at all.
Oh, so you turn the key and nothing happens at all.
What year is the car?
2003 Accord. But listen, I found a solution, temporary at least. If I put the car in neutral and not have the brake on, the foot brake on, it'll start every time so far.
Okay.
I put it into park and it won't respond at all.
All right, well, you figured it out.
Neutral safety switch?
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Mark says he's right.
Something like that. It doesn't have any correlation with the brake, but a neutral safety switch.
Yeah, that's probably the answer.
It's the part in the car that won't allow it to start in gear, right?
Okay.
And that's what you need to
see. They ran a diagnostic and virtually nothing came up.
Well, the problem is when it's working, it's hard to tell you what's not working.
That's right.
But you've isolated it yourself. This is important information you have to tell your technician and say, hey, I put it neutral. The car fired right up. So
you know what? I told them that when I took it in. And they were still mystified.
Well, you know what? Men never listen, eh? My wife says that all the time.
Now, listen, I got a question for you. Is the shifter stiff?
No, actually, it feels...
nice and loose?
That's a little personal question.
I was thinking the same thing.
I'm thinking, what? This is a family show,
because
buddy.
Because you should get some Crown. Because Crown will help you maintain.
Yeah.
What happens is if the shifter is stiff, the cable is failing. Because in that vehicle, the cable actually grows if it fails. And you don't actually get it in the right position when you're shutting it off.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but it sounds to me like you're absolutely right. It's the intermittent switch. In the bottom of the shifter, there's a switch in there. May need to be adjusted.
Okay.
All right, Bob?
Listen, guys. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Have a great long weekend.
Jimmy.
We're going to go to Jimmy next, who got a question about historical vehicles, or do you have a historical vehicle?
Well, I just might have, but I'm wondering what the qualifications are and what's the advantage of having a HVA plate.
That's a great question.
Well, I think 15 years.
I was going to say a little bit longer, Dave. I think it's 20 years.
20 years.
20 years, you get HVA, and the advantage is I think you get free parking downtown, really.
The disadvantage is that people bother you, to be honest with you. I used to drive expensive antique cars, and you get out of the car, people bother you, they lean on the car and they play with it, and sometimes they're in it.
No, I think if you register through the Ministry of Transport as a historic vehicle, I think it grandfathers a few, like seatbelt safety laws, airbags, and I think it keeps the car legally on the road.
But
and,
a question, is there any restrictions if you have it? Can you use it as a daily driver? That's my question.
Again, I don't know. You know, that's a good question. We should find that out. We'll let them know next week.
Maybe Woody knows. We'll have to ask Dave.
Well, Hams Insurance Company looks at it differently.
Really?
Yeah, they look at it as not as a full-time ride, but as a part-time ride.
It's a historic.
So your rates are less.
Well, historically, insurance used to be way cheaper.
Yeah. What are you driving? What kind of car, Jimmy?
It's a Sonoma GMC. It's got over 400 clicks.
Yeah, that doesn't make it.
It's a 95.
Not quite yet.
You got a few years to go yet.
So it's 20 then, eh?
I believe so, yeah. It's 15 years for the emissions, but I think he might be... You know what? Just go on the government website. It's easy.
It might be 20 years after production, after they stop producing it. Like, if they still made the car for 10 years, so then there could be a 30-year-old one before it's...
Maybe. But Sonoma's not really a historic vehicle.
No.
Because they made too many of them.
Hmm.
You know, if it was a T or it was a Model A, or
you're talking about keeping it and thinking that it's going to go up in value.
Yeah, it's not. They just made too many of those things. They say the last really historic vehicles were built in 1970. After that, they were just appliances.
Isn't that funny?
Isn't that interesting?
But I would think that if you have a car, let's say it's some hot car, a Ferrari, or even maybe a special edition Corvette, if you keep it in pristine condition, I'm guessing that 20, 30 years down the road, it's going to be worth something.
It might be, but
yeah, I would think.
Yeah, I mean,
I watched the ones on Barrett Jackson, and they come. You know, the guy's got a car; he had 20 years in a box, and he just gets. But he paid for it. He doesn't get much.
Well, no, they just had that recently where the GM dealer down south, he had kept cars at the end of every year.
Yeah, but he gave him...
But he got a lot of money for those cars.
Yeah, so I think somebody bought the whole collection, I think.
Oh, really?
I can't remember how that went down. I think you and I talked about that once before.
Yeah. So the bottom line is it's got to be something that somebody else would want. And an old pickup truck, like I say, it's got to be really old.
Well, no, exactly. This is where you have to know what the provenance is, what the heritage is. Remember years ago we had someone on from the Model T Association, and he said, you know, people assumed because it's a really old car and it's a really nice shape that it's worth an awful lot of money. But they made a gazillion Model Ts.
Yep.
So if it's not
there's thousands of still out there.
Yeah.
Exactly right. Exactly right. All righty.
You can tell by the music.
Jimmy, thanks for the call.
We're going to move on.
Okay, we lost him or he's off. He's at the moment.
Got to thank James for doing a lovely job this morning.
Yep, James Dooley.
He looks a little rough around the edges.
Tom Dooley,
there,
James Dooley.
James is a surviving brother.
From Tom Dooley, yeah. Tom Dooley hung around for a while.
Mark, thank you. Marcus from
Thanks
East
for
Court
having
Ford.
Me.
If you got a problem with a Ford or something, East Court Ford, what's the number?
416-292-1171.
Alan, and your information?
416-665-6230. We're still looking for a tire buster. So if you're not afraid of getting your hands dirty and you want to change some tires and learn to be a mechanic, you can give us a call.
And we have a strange person in the studio.
I'd like to be a tire buster.
You want to be a tire buster?
No, you're not. You're a, what do you call it, buster, but you can't say it on the show.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, safe driving, and we'll see you next week. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
This has been an exclusive podcast of Dave's Corner Garage. Heard every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. This has been an exclusive podcast of Dave's Corner Garage. Heard every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.